Hallelujah. Well, stand up with me, if you would, on this Palm Sunday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has been so good to you. You ought to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you. I'm going to recant what I said earlier, that in the morning worship I put my prophet's hat on. I'm not going to put my prophet's hat on this morning. Okay, because, you know, if a prophet messes up, it's not real good for him, you know. So I'm just going to give you my opinion this morning. How's that? Amen. But I will tell you, I will give you this. The Bible is full of patterns, and God thinks cyclically. How would we say that? What goes around comes around. Okay? That's the best way to say that. So, amen. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God. Yes, Lord, we'll do that. Terry, don't start the music. Father, we love you. We praise you. And Lord, when we do start this music and we do begin to praise you, Lord, we invite you to be enthroned in the praises of your people. We have so much to celebrate this morning. So much, so many reasons to worship you. And Father, I'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and honor due you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to just sit down for a minute. God gave me a little idea. So, Terry, I'm going to turn my mic off and try to turn one of these on. Will that work? We're fixing. This was working. Now, who's got a testimony this morning? Who's got a praise report?
I do.
Okay, hold it, hold it. Now, Aunt Mary watching, she can't hear you without this microphone. Okay?
My sister Wendy sent me a book that... What's his name?
Charles Katz.
Charles Katz wrote, and he, and every day, I have an issue with bleeding, and every day I say to my body, I rebuke the bleeders in my body, and I command my body to line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
That I am healed and made whole by his stripes. In Jesus' name. Exactly. And when I went to have my blood work done this time, it was up 3/10 of a point. Not much, but it was up higher than it was.
Keep speaking to that mountain.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else have testimony? Huh? Anybody? Glory to God. Somebody's got a testimony. Somebody's got a praise report. Hallelujah. Anybody at all before we get started? Speak now or forever. Or what? Wait a minute, you can't say it. You see, my Aunt Mary and Uncle George and Joyce, they can't hear you without a microphone. So there you go.
I just wanted to say that this year we made more money than we usually do. And so anyhow, I thought that I would have to pay more in my taxes, but I didn't.
Amen.
Yeah. In fact, we got Amen. Back more money from
Praise
the government.
Lord.
So we were all happy about that.
Amen. Now, I want to correct you on one thing. You didn't get money back from the government. You got your money back. Okay?
Amen.
The government didn't give you anything. They gave your money back. Right? I'd just soon break even. That way they don't have my money all. But this is not about that. Anyway, anybody else? That's a good praise report. Aunt Helen.
I just want to thank God for all the great things he does for me. No matter what I do, I don't mind a lot of times. And I feel bad about it. But he's always there. To take my hand and guide me on farther, and I just love him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? There are 2 for $5 or 3 for $10.
Probably about 2 weeks ago, the Lord had given me a dream. And it was a dream about somebody in my house. And this person was painting a picture of themselves on the light switch. And the light switch, somebody had fixed it. And in real life, it doesn't have the actual switch on it. It's just the box, like. And so, but anyhow, I was thinking, what does that mean? Because the person was like painting the sideburns of a picture of themselves. And, you know, I kept on talking to the Lord about it for about 3 days. Because I had heard some teaching about, you know, just keep on. So anyhow, the Lord said that this person was painting a better portrait of themselves. And I knew exactly what that meant, you know, because sometimes people in a better light, that's what it was also, that they were painting a better picture of themselves in a better light. So, you know, I just thank God that he lets us hear and see and know stuff that we wouldn't really know.
Amen. Amen. He's a God of revelation.
I just want to give praise to the Lord for the good health he blesses me with, that I'm able to get out and do the things that I can, that I can get up in the morning and I can study his word that he blesses me with every day. I just want to thank him for all the blessings he's bestowed.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for watching over me. I've made a couple trips back and forth to Florida driving, and I think about all the times and the opportunities where it could have been a bad situation, but the Lord just was there with us. Katrina went to Florida with me on the way down there, and we drove straight through there, and you just blinked your eyes and we were there. Well, we got to talk and share about how good God is. And my heart is just so full this morning to speak to you, to be observant, particularly observant right now, of what God is doing. He's not into having us sad. He's not into having us distressed. He is into us looking at him and being full of who he is, being assured that he is great and mighty, and he's got a good plan for us. He's got good things ahead for us. There is power in that blood that was shed. And we forget that. We get practical sometimes with the spiritual significance of the power that is in us, through and by the love that he displayed. And that has just overwhelmed me this week. The love that God had for me to do these things that I could not do for myself. And I praise him for that.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Were you ready to praise him? Good testimonies. Father, once again, we just come into your presence, Lord God. We come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to an awesome, mighty God. Father, we invite you, Lord. We invite you, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of your people this morning. Destroy yokes and lift burdens. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
There's a cry from the depths of our hearts, heaven come down. We'll not be silenced, can't be contained. The cry of a people, a priesthood, a nation called by your name. Out of the darkness, redeemed from the night, bathed in his glory, reflecting his light. Just
Stop. Cupid knew there was something more than the arc of your presence in a manger, Messiah was born amongst kings and some peasants, and all Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the air. Now you've called us to boldly seek your.
And all the earth. And Father, we thank you that you've called us into a face-to-face, el panim panim, a relationship with you. I thank you, God, that we can know you. And we just praise you and magnify you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Bernie's got them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise. Amen. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for seed we sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, and we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you'll multiply it, you'll cause a harvest back to the sower, and for that we give you glory and praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Devil does his best. His best ain't good enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Sit down, Bernie. Take a load off. You'll be all right. There you go. Glory. Everybody ready? It is the Passover season. I say Passover season because Passover is not an end in itself.
Amen.
Amen. Passover was never God's goal. Getting you saved was never God's goal. Amen.
Amen.
Getting you filled with his spirit, God dwelling in you, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave. That was God's goal, was to dwell in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. How many of you have been disappointed? Huh? I know some of you are disappointed on November 3rd last year. And some of you still carrying that disappointment. All right? So I want to talk to you about that this morning. Okay? I want to look at the life of Moshe. Moses, you would call him. In Hebrew, you say his name Moshe. And I want to pick it up in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. You know the story. Moses is raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He kills one of the Egyptian taskmasters, and he flees. He ends up herding sheep for Jethro and goats, and marries Zipporah, his daughter. And then Moses happens to encounter God in the desert, right? In the form of a burning bush. The fire was burning, but the bush wasn't being consumed. And God spoke to him. And let's pick it up in verse 13 of Exodus 3. Then Moshe said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Elohim of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" So Moses is like, "Okay, God, you want me to go? Who do I tell them sent me?" Right? Moses was raised by Egyptians. Egyptians worship many gods. So I think it's a fair question for Moses to say, "Okay, which one are you? Who are you?" All right? Because up until this point, we don't know how much influence Moses' mother had on his life. We do know that she got to nurse Moses in Pharaoh's house, right? So I think it's a fair question. Who do I tell him sending me? Right? Now let's move forward in the story. Let's move forward here. Let's go over to chapter 4. Let's go to about verse 27. "And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses, So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Now they're still slaves, mind you. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Moving right on to chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Moses went right in and says, "Hey, Yahweh, the Elohim, or the God of the Israelites, has told us to tell you to let my people go." Pharaoh thought himself a god. He didn't know this Yahweh. And Pharaoh said, "Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Then the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your work or your labor. You guys are loafing here. You're not making me any bricks." Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor?" So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" Well, if they got time to go do that, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. You go gather your own straw. I'm not going to provide the straw. Y'all can go gather your own straw. How many of you know that Moses is thinking, "This is not working out the way I thought it might. This is not exactly happening the way I thought it would." And let's pick it up in verse 15. They're not able to keep up with their quota. Or verse 14. "Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, 'Why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before?'" That they're not meeting their quota. "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, 'Why are you dealing thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, "Make brick." And indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle, idle. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.'" I tell you, this thing's really bugging Pharaoh. "Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, "You shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota." Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to him, "Let Yahweh look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses is pretty disappointed at this point, because he showed up to deliver Israel. All he's done so far is make it worse. Moses is like, "I got to get back to God." Verse 22 says, "So Moses returned to Yahweh and said, 'Yahweh, Why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. I think that's a fair question. What do you think? Then the Lord said to Moshe, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Yahweh. What's Moses' problem? What's Moses' problem? Same problem we have. It's not working out the way we planned it. Not working out. It's not working out, Moses. It ain't working out, Moses. You come down here, you're supposed to deliver us, and all you did is make it worse. God says, man, I got to get back up that mountain. I got to get up that mountain. And God says, listen. Let me tell you what God's telling Moses. Trust my plan. Pharaoh will let them go. It's not going to be like you want it to be. It's going to be on my terms. But trust me, Moses. It's going to happen. See, one of the things we fail sometimes to realize is that God is sovereign. Let me give you the simplest definition for the sovereignty of God. God is God. He is king, and you are not. Amen. There's no Republican, there's no Democrat that are king. God is still on the throne and he is still in charge. And you know what? You know what? You got to believe him that he wants what's best for you. You got to believe in his plan. Amen. Let me show you something. Turn with me. I just know that Jackie can quote this text here in Isaiah 45, verse 6 and 7. I know she can. I know she can because she went 12 days in Israel looking for the man's image on a coin. Looking for that coin that had Cyrus and Trump on it. Didn't trust me when I told her I knew where we could get it. Tried to buy it at a ice cream shop one time, I think, or something. Like, they ain't going to have that. Now listen, when I say God is sovereign, that means God can use whoever he wants to. there's always been a remnant of Jewish people in Israel, okay? But I want you to see this. God reestablishes his kingship in his son Jesus at Calvary, okay? But the Jewish people overall don't accept his kingship like they did at the Red Sea. Of course, it didn't take them very long to forget about it. You know, Moses is up on Sinai, and, you know, they're building a golden calf while he's up there receiving the word of God. So, but remember, none of that generation made it into the promised land, okay? So, at Calvary, most of the Jewish people, this is hot off the press, okay? So, give me some slack, make sure I get it out right. So, most of the Jewish people don't accept Jesus. But there was a group of people who did, and we call them Christians. Now, they were first called Christians at Antioch, and it really wasn't a good term. But we'll say Christians. God began, he inaugurated, I'm going to say this, at Calvary, God inaugurated the Christian church. Now, it was to be made up of Jew and Gentile, but for the first 2,000 years, it wasn't. But God established a Christian Europe, and God also established a Christian United States of America. And you've heard me say, now Israel is laid desolate. It doesn't exist as a nation. The land is still there, but there's not much growing on it, and Israel is not a nation. In the meantime, God is raising up these Christian nations in Europe, and God is raising up a Christian America, the greatest economic and military power the world has ever known. Then the late 1800s, then the pogroms. You know what the pogroms were? Those were what they called when the Russians would attack the Jews and take everything they had. You know, they ransacked their villages. Jews started migrating out of Russia. And guess where they headed to? A lot of them headed to the United States of America. Amen. Then early on in the 19th century, Jews started going back to Israel. World War I was won because America got involved. Now, if you read a European history book, they'll tell you different. But the truth is, Europe was losing that battle until America got involved. It wasn't until America got involved in World War II that the tide began to turn. Remember, I said God raised up the greatest economic and military Christian nation the world had ever seen. God was king here. Amen. And now in the early 1900s, God starts bringing Jews back to Israel. And because he's raised up this economic military power, now he can begin to restore Israel as a nation. Because Israel, God would raise America up to watch Israel's back. It was Harry Truman. Israel needed a nation to recognize her government. This was in 1948, and Harry Truman signed a document recognizing Israel as a nation. And now, God seems to still be on the move, but it looks like to conservatives in America that God's fallen asleep at the wheel. They kind of feel, we kind of feel like Moses, maybe. You know, this is not the way I planned it, Moses, or God. Trust the plan. Amen. Let's find the pattern. Turn with me to Ezekiel 38. The pattern is in Ezekiel 38. So we'll start in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord, or the word of Yahweh, came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Now watch what he says. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Now, I don't know the answer to who all these nations are. Let's just, for the sake of argument, because you can look at one scholar, he'll tell you Togarmah is one thing, another scholar will tell you something else. Let's just put it this way. These are enemy nations of Israel. They are more than likely anti-God, atheistic governments. All right? These are the bad guys. Okay, God says, I'm putting a hook in your jaw. I'm going to draw you. All right, let's pick it up in verse 7. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited, in the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought, now see, This is talking about something that is happening after the desolation of Israel and after the people of Israel have been restored, okay? They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. God says, this is going to happen because I'm going to let all the nations know who I am. He says, thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And now let's jump down to verse 22. Or verse 21, I will call for a sword against God throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus, now watch, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am Yahweh. Ooh. You know what I think's going on? He's establishing his kingship for one final time. Amen. What happens during all that time, Pastor Butch? Well, I'm not sure, but let's go to verse 6 of 39. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am Yahweh. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name any more. Then the nation shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. In Israel, surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Go back up to verse 7. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. There it is. There's the pattern. He's reestablishing his kingship. Now, I don't know what all's going to happen during that time. But I think it might go like this. The trumpet's going to sound. The Lord's going to descend with a shout. The dead will rise. And we shall be changed and be like him. Amen. And he will reestablish his kingship amongst his people Israel. Somebody say amen or oh me. Now, I don't know all the particulars, but I do think he's coming. And I do think he will be hallowed in the whole world's eyes. Amen. Right now, he's busy building one new man, Jew and Gentile, in order that he might rebuild the tabernacle of David. Right? And why does James say in Acts 15, why is God doing this? Why is he bringing Jew and Gentile together, rebuilding that tabernacle of David? James says in Acts 15, so that all men might seek him. Amen? God is sovereign, God is king, and God will reestablish his kingship on this earth. I don't know all the details, but that's the pattern in the Holy Scripture. God establishing kingship. Amen? Now, so what's that tell us? Trust the plan. Trust the plan. Man's ways seem right in his own eyes, but his end is destruction. Trust the plan. Amen. Don't let the witness die. Continue to witness. I'm not going to be so naive to tell you that it might get hard to be a witness in this nation. Don't you take your First Amendment for granted. All this tolerance and stuff. The bottom line is they want your freedom of religion. That's what they want. All this tolerance stuff, that's just the first step in taking your freedom. But what are you going to do? Beat everybody up? No. Trust the plan. Amen. It didn't look very good in Moses' eyes, Lord. I'm pretty sure everybody down there is talking bad about me every time they got to go find some straw to make those bricks, and every time somebody gets lashed because because they're not making enough bricks. I'm pretty sure, Lord, they're not thinking very highly of me now. Don't worry about it, Moses. I got a plan. God's got a plan. Amen. Here's the problem. This is why faith is such a gift from God. Now, I know there is the gift of faith, which is a supernatural gifting. But the faith you live by every day, that's a gift. That's a gift. That's a gift that comforts, that guides, that directs our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do? You're going to trust the plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Jackie, why don't you and Carolyn help me serve communion? Glory to God. Praise his mighty name.